This Lent, we're doing a sermon series on the road of the Christian. And last week, remember, we looked at the road of repentance, the road back to God. Today, I'd like to look with you at the road of the cross. Remember, Jesus said, if you would follow me, if you would be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Today, let's take a look at that verse and see what Jesus meant by that. What is a cross? What's it mean to take up your cross and follow him? How do we do that? Why would we do that? What's the result of that, good or bad, according to Jesus? Take up your cross and follow me. What did Jesus mean? Let's take a look at that and see what we can learn about it today by God's holy word for our help and encouragement in Christ. What can we say? Well, first of all, let's take a look and see where Jesus said this, where it's written, and we'll give you three quick examples here. Just look at them briefly here and quickly, but they have a little minor variation to each. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus was speaking to his disciples there. Over in Mark 8, verse 34, we see it's even a little broader than that, the spectrum of to whom he's speaking. He calls to him the multitude with his disciples. So a wider scope. And he said to them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So the first time you're finding your life, this time you're saving your life by doing this. And one more in Luke 9:23. And Jesus said to all, in other words, to every human being, he preaches this, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. So what can we learn about this? This is a message to the entire world, to every human being. Take up your cross and follow me and save your life. And this is very, very important. It appears not only in these passages of the three Gospels, but something similar Jesus is saying on almost every page of Scripture. As he preaches, as we'll see. So what did Jesus mean by this? So what does it actually mean to take up your cross? Well, let's first be clear, what does he not mean by taking up your cross? Okay, because a lot of people are messed up on this one, and even a lot of Christians will use this phrase wrongly. They'll think that a cross is just any burden that they have to bear with in life and endure and just deal with. Some people might say, like, you know, my job, it's my cross to bear in this life because I hate it, but I just got to do it anyway. It's my cross. Have you heard such things? Some people say stuff like, you know, my disease is my cross to bear, or my physical handicap is my cross to bear because it's tough. Or, you know, some people I've even heard say, hopefully not you, but they say, my spouse is my cross to bear because, boy, that person's tough to live with. And although, yes, these are challenges, and although, yes, these are all hard, and I legitimize that, yet these are not your crosses. This is not what Jesus means. It's not just any burden that you have in your life that's your cross. So what is your cross? Well, let's consider, what is a cross? I mean, in Jesus' day, what was a cross used for? Well, in Jesus' day, of course, it's not a pretty little necklace like a lot of ladies wear. Today, it was literally, think about this, an instrument of execution. It was invented by the Assyrians, Babylonians, Greeks, Persians, perfected by the Romans to be the most excruciating, painful, humiliating way to kill somebody and to shame and dishonor them and put them to death. And so it was actually so much used by the Romans in the days of Jesus that the early Jewish historian Josephus in the first century recorded that General Varus of the Romans, even in 4 BC, killed 2,000 Jews at one time outside of Jerusalem as rebels, hanging them on crosses. So when Jesus tells the multitude, he says, take up, you must, if you're going to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Well, they had a clear picture of what he meant. This was an instrument of death, execution, and of the greatest shame and dishonor. The cross equals death. Wow. If you'd be his disciple, you'd need that. So what did Jesus mean? And why did the Lord of life, think about this, he is true life indeed, Jesus is. And to describe the road of the Christian, his disciple, he uses a cross to describe it, of the man who follows him in his road. Question is, what are we putting to death when we take up our cross? Here it is, here's the answer. When Jesus says to take up your cross, he says, I want you, if you will be my disciple, you yourself must die to become my disciple. In other words, what have you got to put to death is your own self. Let's say that, self. You got to kill yourself if you would come and be mine. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? Remember, Jesus says, he told his disciples, Matthew 16 again, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what does it mean, though, to kill, crucify, destroy, exterminate, execute yourself? What's he mean? Does that mean he just wants us to hate ourselves all the time with a venomous hatred and beat up ourselves and get a stick and beat yourself on the back and discourage yourself all the time and say, I'm just such a terrible person, I hate myself? Is that what God wants for you in the road of the cross? No, because we know in other scriptures that, you know, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So he acknowledges there's a certain love of the self that's okay. He also says in other places, God saves the crushed in spirit. And he's the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. So he wants you to be an encouraged Christian. He wants you also to be joyful. Did you know that? Not sad, for rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, and I speak this that my joy may be in you, says the Lord. So obviously, killing yourself is not about just every aspect about you, but what is it that we are to crucify? It is this part of you, your old self, your sinful self, the evil side of you that wants to rule and be your own king and your own God, following after your own evil, sinful desires of our flesh, to love the world and all of its passions. You must crucify your love for the world. Put that to death too, with all of the world's treasures, and, watch this, have Jesus alone as your king on the throne of your heart. In our hearts, if you want to picture it this way, as it were, there is a throne. In other words, it's what you value the most. It's what you exalt above everything else. It's what you want to worship. There is a center throne of our souls. The question is, who is on that throne, says Jesus? Is it you or is it me? Am I your king and king alone with no rivals? Or is it yourself that you love first and foremost? What Jesus is calling us to, therefore, here in taking up our cross, he says, have me as your king alone on the throne of your heart, exalted as number one above all. Let it be me that you worship, me that you follow, and forsake everything else to have me as your king alone on the throne of your heart, and then you can truly be my disciple. So you need to crucify then and kill you, all of your sinful passions, your love of the world, because we can set those up on the throne of our heart instead, can't we? Let me ask you a question. Here's a quiz. You ready for a quiz? In the Bible, if you put something on the throne of your heart that you worship, exalt as above everything else, and it is in the place of God on the throne of your heart, what do we call it? An idol. Right? And, you know, unregenerate, unbelieving man, evil man, always is going to put something else on the throne other than Jesus. What people put on there is, number one, ourself. Namely, ever since the devil deceived us and we fell into sin at the start, the promise was, you can be your own God. You can be your own king. Don't follow this guy. Be your own king, make your own decisions, follow whatever evil ways you wish. So people put the self on the throne of their hearts. What else do people put on the throne of their hearts? They might put a person there, maybe someone they love, a family member, or a Hollywood star that they want to follow. People put money on the throne of their hearts. That's going to be my God, and I'll follow after money. If you do, it's your idol. If you love the world more than you love Jesus, that's your idol. If you love the world's treasures and its pleasures more than you love Jesus, then that is your idol. If you seek men and the approval of men and their glory and fame, that is your idol. But Jesus says, if you would be my disciple, you've got to give all of that up and turn it over and forsake it all and come to me and have me alone as your king on the throne of your heart. Number one, exalted above all, with no rivals. On the throne of your heart, me alone, and to follow me daily. Does that make sense? Capisce? Are we Italians out there? But it sounds kind of extreme, don't you think? Isn't he asking a lot of us? Well, do you know that Jesus says virtually the same thing on almost everything he says in Scripture? Look at the context in Matthew 10. He says, he who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, who was called by God to put Jesus first over even his own son? In the Old Testament, Abraham, right, Bill? Remember, take your son, your only son, up here to the mountain that I'm going to show you, Mount Moriah, and there sacrifice him before me, says the Lord. And Abraham, what did he do? He went right up and to sacrifice him. And as he's raising the knife over his son, God stays his hand. Abraham, don't lay your hand on the child or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. In other words, above all things, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The test was, is your son someone you love more? Is he your idol? Or is it Jesus as king and God alone, Father, above all that you worship? Abraham did great, and so he's called the father of the faithful, and God therefore, of course, also spared his son. So you can't have anything else on the throne than God. Jesus says the same with respect to money and the world and all of its stuff. No servant can serve two masters, says Jesus, since he will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. God's got to be number one. No rivals. And whoever, watch this, does not first renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Extreme, but true. He is king and he wants you to know him as such. How about another agenda? Can you just have his agenda and then whatever other agenda you want, if he commands you to go in a way? Well, he said to one person, follow me. And the man said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That sounds pretty harsh, but it's complete. It's real. Jesus, his gospel, his kingdom is the way to go. Seek first his kingdom, and then everything else shall be yours as well. And you cannot put your hand to the plow and look back and be fit for the kingdom of God, says he. Also, you can't have your love of the world greater than he. You've got to forsake the world. You're wanting to snatch this life, enjoy its pleasures and treasures and sins. You've got to love me more than that. If you're going to be my disciple, says Jesus, the king. And if you'd have me as king, Jesus says, this is the hardest of all. You've got to even be willing to kill or die in your own self, your own flesh, bearing my name. Are you willing to die for me, says the Lord? If you're not, you're not truly my disciple. That's a serious word, amen? But remember, he's the king. We're in a great battle against evil in this world. And when we as Christians Go forth into the world to walk the road of the Christian. We are bearing, as it were, on our foreheads invisibly the name of Jesus Christ. And the world and the devil sees this. We are called to be boldly defiant against all the king's enemies and confess his name alone, even unto death is the call. For Jesus says, if you were of the world would love you, since it loves its own. But since you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you, and it's going to persecute you. It might even kill you and put you to death. Are you willing to suffer all, even for my name, and to have me alone as your king? Jesus says, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels in the last day. But everyone who confesses me before men, in other words, that Jesus alone is King and Savior, then I also will confess you before the angels of God and before my Father. So this is to have Jesus alone as your King with no rivals. He alone, he for you, you for him. Are you willing to even die for Jesus? Well, we see that this is the road of the cross, and it's a glorious road, as hard as it is. It's the road of truth for the Christian, and we see how glorious it is. Remember, all the saints in the Bible who have done this. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They had that test in their day when the king Nebuchadnezzar set up that golden image 90 feet tall, and he said, whenever you hear the sound of the music, you shall fall down, all peoples, and shall worship this golden image I have set up, or, I will cast you into a burning fiery furnace. Well, everybody obeyed the king's order, save Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king hears of it in a furious rage. Bring those men in here. He says, will you now obey and worship this image I've set up, then you'll save your skins. But if not, into the fire you go. And they answered him thus, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, even so be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Isn't that a bold defiance? To this we're called. Is that not the road of the cross? To be willing to die for the Lord Jesus, even in against all the king's enemies. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But the King Jesus is always faithful to preserve his saints, and in this case, even brought them out of the fire alive. But friends, this is the road of the cross. It's not just giving Jesus lip service, of course, and you guys are doing great. It is to follow him, taking up your cross daily to follow him, yes, even unto death, if you would be his disciple. So what we need to understand then today, during Lent, during this look at the road of the cross is, hey, the Christian life is fantastic. It's great. God gives you so many rich blessings in this world, and also especially in the world to come. But this world also is not just all, you know, cakes and ale and roses and flowers. It's not all just receiving, but rather it's a hard road of the Christian, and the King asks much of you and much of me, even as he gives you all things. He calls you to be his disciple alone and to have him as king alone in your life, on the throne of your heart. That's not easy for us, because our old man, evil side of ourselves, always wants to be on the throne. But every day we're called to cast him off and have Jesus alone as king. So who can do this of their own strength? Obviously, none of us of our own power is able to keep these words of Christ. But how does Jesus help us? Well, the beautiful thing is he comes to give you the heart to be able to do this, to make you his disciple through his Spirit. He especially did it when he came and he preached to us the law. What's the law do to you when he preaches to you the Ten Commandments and such? His aim is to kill your old evil self, to make you give up on your desire to be your own king, your own Lord and your own Savior, to say, you can't do this. And in fact, if you seek to save yourself, you will surely die. Because you're rejecting having me as your king, and you want to be king and Lord and Savior, you have no power to deliver. You won't have me as king in this life, so you won't be blessed here. And in the age to come, at the last day, you will be destroyed if you go to the judgment in your sins, for you being king only leads to death. That's what he says here. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his own life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, why do you want to be your own kings, O people of the world? It's only going to kill you in the end. You can't save yourself, and what else can save you if you have something else on the throne of your heart? If the world is your idol and you snatch that rather than me, the world has no power to deliver you. It's destined for fire, and so would you be. If you seek money to save you and that's your God, it has no power to save you or deliver you. Why would you want that as your king? Even if you seek people and their approval, or a son or daughter or a spouse, and you set them up as your idol, why would you want that? They can't save you. You would only die. And if you especially set up yourself as king, which was the temptation of the devil, to be your own gods, to be your own king, well, what's that end in? It's only death, for you have no power to save yourself or buy your way out of the pits. It will kill you in the end. Don't go that route, says the Lord. He's calling us to hear in the positive way. He says, lose your life. Deny yourself. Kill yourself. Get off the throne. Let me come in and be on your throne, and I can save you. I will save you because I have the power to deliver you and give you the great life that I want to give you and a great relationship with you. You know what Jesus is really calling us to hear, friends? In a word, two words, true love. He says, I have true love for you as your king. I want to give everything to you. Have true love for me, and I will give everything to you. Receive me as your king, and I will come and save you. So think about what this verse really means. It says, give up your own being king, the world, its pleasures, which are never going to help you anyway, only destroy you, and from me receive everything. I'll give you myself as king. I'll protect you. I'll love you. I'll give you the kingdom. I'll forgive your sins. I die for you. I am raised again. I will give you salvation. I'll give you the world to come and permanent glory, and all these is a free gift received by faith in my name. If you but get off the throne and let me be on the throne and say, Jesus, I want you alone as my Savior, and as King, he will come and save you. Now, for you guys, that's happened. You are Christians. And how do we kill ourselves? The answer is very easy. It's last week's sermon. Just repent. Say, God, I can't save myself. I don't want to save myself. I want you to save me. My sins will kill me. You're the Savior. You died for me. Be my Lord and King forever. And so that's how you kill yourself. And then you are raised by believing the gospel, that Christ died for your sins to bring you to God, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so you are saved. Jesus is your king. He delights to have you as his true disciples. But we need to know one more thing. That coming to Christ and having him on the throne is not just a one-time only event. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke 9, he says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Would you say the word daily? Daily. That means to do these things that Christ is calling us to is an everyday occurrence. It's an everyday fight. You know why? Because though our old self has been removed from the throne, it's still kind of alive and in our members and our body, and it wants to get back on the throne and rule your life. The old evil side of yourself wants to lay hold of the world, snatch this life, is not willing to die for Christ. It wants to rule again. It's not in charge, but it wants the throne again. What do you got to do as a Christian? Fight. Fight and keep it submission. Subdue it. Conquer. says the Lord, I've given you a new heart, which is on the throne. Keep that old one off the throne and fight it down. And that's a daily battle. A little insight into my life, when I'm called to preach, right? Through the week, a lot of times I'm like, but Lord, you know, I really feel like just going up and exploring the coasts in New England. I want to go sit on a mountain somewhere and feed some chickadees. I want to go sailing. I want to play tennis. I want to do anything but write a sermon. You know what the Lord says? When that old man wants to get up and take the throne again in me, he says, Greg, okay, do you love me, though, more than these? You know, like he said to Peter, do you love me more than the boats and the fishing, Peter? Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than the sea and all these things you've done before? Do you love me more than the waters, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, says Peter. Then feed my sheep. Yes, Lord. He says the same to me almost every day. I'm like, God, I want to do this. I want to do that. Oh, my goodness, I have to do this. God, have mercy. Greg, do you love me more than these? All these other things you might do? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. I'm like, ah, thank you, Lord. So stupid of me. I'm so sorry. You're right. And then I go to it cheerfully. And every day he gives me victory. Every day we have to fight this. Every day Paul had to fight in the same way. He says, I want to do the right thing, but evil lies close at hand. But then every day he says, but I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who now lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's a glorious life that God has called us to as Christian. It's victory at every turn. Victory and a new life and a new spirit that follows in the ways of God and Jesus, which is the great and good life. Paul could even go to Jerusalem at the end of his life, facing potential death, and say, hey, I'm not afraid, because I don't account my life of any value anymore, nor is precious to myself. If only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And it's victory, friends, that Jesus is calling you to, and a great, glorious life. Because he, as king, loves you 100%. And if you follow him, loving him in 1%, that's true love and a glorious, great life he calls you to as king. So one more question, though, for today is, did Jesus just tell you to take up your cross and not do it himself? No, he is the kind of king who took up his own cross every day of his life, bearing abuse from the world, the attacks of the evil one, all the temptations of the evil one to snatch the treasures of this life. He denied and conquered and won with victory at every turn, even taking up his own literal cross to Calvary for our sakes, there to die for us. As Peter says, Christ died for our sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Come on, friends, what a great king we have. He is the best. He's number one. There must be no rivals for him in our hearts. And you know what? To do what he's calling us to do in this word today is our good joy. And we can do it cheerfully. You know why? Because he cheerfully went to the cross to save you. That's the king who loves you. So it's actually easy, in a sense, then, for us to cheerfully then give up all for the same king who so loved us to set us free with eternal life through faith in his name. So, in conclusion, the Christian road we need to know today is a hard one, but a great one too. To confess Christ alone as king, and to follow him even over against all the world, to keep in his ways. And the great news for us is that in return for all this, as a gift, free gift really, he gives us life and salvation and freedom and joy forever with him. And hooray for that. For Jesus says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life, yeah, he's going to lose it. But watch this. Whoever loses his life for my sake, comes to me as King and Savior, and the Gospels, he will save it and have his life with joys with me in my kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.